Okay, good morning. As always, the Daf HaShavua here is dedicated by Gary and Toby Greenstein in memory of their dear son Yomi, Yosef Menachem Zal Ben Gershon. And breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch, Ulay Nishmas, Shimon Ben Zev, Aov HaShalom, and Fega Bas Chaim, Aov HaShalom, their Neshama Shev and Aliyah. Okay, we're doing Megillah, Daf Yud Zayin. It's a good, interesting daf with a few varied topics throughout it. We're going to start on the second line from the bottom on Yud. Tes Zayin Amid Beis, where it says Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marsa, Gadol Talmud Torah Yoser Mikibud Aveim. Talmud Torah is more praiseworthy than Kibud Av, than honoring one's parents. How do we know that? Shekol Osan Shanim. Because Yaakov, as we'll see in a moment, was punished, in a way, for leaving his parents' home, for not being with his parents all the days that he was in Beis Lavan and on his journey. We'll see the punishment was that because he had kind of fallen short of Kibud Av Ve'im by leaving his parents' home, so he was punished by suffering the agony of Yosef being taken from his home. But as we'll see in a moment, the years only correspond to part of that period. And the 14 years that we can attribute to him being in Yeshivas Shem Ve'Ever, Yeshivas Ever, when he was learning Torah, aren't counted as part of that calculation. And so from there we derive that Talmud Torah is greater than Kibud Av Ve'Im. He was justified in leaving his parents' house to learn Torah, whereas the rest of the years he was punished for those. She wasn't punished for those. How do we know that? Here was the calculation. Why do we care at all about the age of Yishmael at various points? Why does the Torah ever devote any attention to how old Yishmael was or how the years passed? Yishmael wasn't a good guy, and so why do we care about that? And the Gemara answer is, because by figuring out the time, the age of Yishmael at various points, we could actually derive how old Yaakov was at various points, which is going to lead us to our conclusion about him being in Yeshivas Ever for 14 years. So let's see. The Gemara does this in 8 steps. Dichsiv. The Pasuk says, Ve'ela shnei chaye Yishmael me'as shana u'shloshim shana v'sheva shanim. Yishmael was 137 years old when he died. So that's step 1. Kamakashis Yishmael mi Yitzchak, Arbeisar Shanin. Yitzchak was 14 years younger than Yishmael, right? Dechsev, V'Avram ben Shmonim Shana V'Sheish Shanin, Beledes Hagar as Yishmael Avram. Avram was 86 years old when Yishmael was born. Uksiv, did I get that right? 86 years old when Yishmael was born. Uksiv Avram ben Me'as Shana Bivaled was Yitzchak beno. And Avram was 100 years old when Yitzchak was born. So from there we see that Yishmael was 14 years old when Yitzchak was born. Fine. Uksiv V'Yitzchak ben Shishim Shana Bledes Osam. And Yitzchak was 60 years old when Yaakov and Esav were born. Okay? Bar Kamav Yishmael Kedisyo Yaakov. So how old was Yishmael when Yaakov was born? Yishmael must have been Shivim Ve'Arba, right? 74, because 60 plus 14 is 74. Okay. Kama Paishan Mishaneha Shtin Utlas. So that means that there were 16 years left to his life. Shishim Utlas, I'm sorry, 63 years left to his life, right? Because if Yishmael was 74 when Yaakov was born, that means he had 66 years left to his life. 63 years left to his life when he died at 137, right? Okay. That's what we know so far. So he had 63 years left to his life. Now the Gemara is going to kind of review this with a brisa that it knows, and it's going to prove this from a different source. V'tanya, we have a proof from this from a brisa. Hayyakov Avinu, So Yaakov Avinu, when he got the brachos from his father, he was 63 years old. Uboba perek meis Yishmael. And at that same time, Yishmael died, right? So that's consistent with what we just said, that Yaakov was born 63 years before Yishmael died. How do we know that Yishmael died at that same moment? Because at the time that Yaakov got the brachos from his father, that was the beginning of the whole story with Esav chasing him, right? And that's when he had to leave. So it says immediately after he got the brachos, Esav saw that Yaakov had gotten the bracha that he was supposed to get. He was very angry. And what did Esav do? He left and he went to Yishmael. He immediately got married to Machlas, the daughter of Yishmael, and the sister of Nevaios. The Gemara says, "Mimashma shenemar bas Yishmael, ini yodea shi achos Nevaios." If the Torah already told me that she's the daughter of Yishmael, don't I already know that she's the sister of Nevaios? Because we know Nevaios was also the son of Yishmael. So why did the Torah tell us both facts, that she was both the daughter of Yishmael and the sister of Nevaios? Malamed shekidsha Yishmael. That teaches us that Yishmael was the Mesader Kiddushin for this wedding. So he did the Kiddushin. And then, nowadays we have the Kiddushin, the Nisun, and the Kiddushin and the Nisun right one after each other. Back then, there was a gap in time. And so at some point after the Kiddushin was done, after Yishmael did the Kiddushin, he died, Umes. And then they were left with Adam Mesader Kiddushin for the Nisun. And so Nevaios, the son, the brother of the Kala, stepped in, and he finished up the job. But the point is that we see from there that Yishmael died just about that same time that Yaakov and Esav got the brachos, and this whole thing started. Okay. So now, from that point on, Shishin Utlas Ve'arbesar Ad Misyalid Yosef. So Yaakov was now 63. Add another 14 years to when Yosef was born. How do we know that Yosef was born exactly 14 years later? So Rashi points out that Yosef was born just after Yaakov had finished the 14 years of working that he had promised Lavan to marry Rachel and Leah. Because the Pasuk says that Yosef was born, and then immediately after it starts talking about how he was working. That was around, if you look in the Pesukim, you'll see that the 14 years ends right there, and that's when he enters into the deal with Lavan to start working for the Nekudim and the sheep that were spotted and stuff like that. And so we know that Yosef was born just at the termination of the 14 years that Yaakov was working for Lavan on behalf of Rachel and Leah. So therefore, how old was Yaakov when Yosef was born? Hashivin v'sheva. So that must mean he was 77 years old, because 63 plus 14 gets you to 77. Uksiv, v'Yosef ben shloshim shana b'omdo ufnei paro. Yosef was 30 years old when he came to Paro. Hameya v'sheva. So you add 30 to 77. So now Yaakov is 107 years old when Yosef comes to Paro. Shev de Shiva, Vitarte de Kafna. Now there were the years of plenty and the years of famine. So there are 7 years of plenty and 2 years of famine, because we know that's true because the Pasuk says, Ki zesh nosayim ara'av. When Yaakov appears in front of Paro, it says that there were now there had been 2 years of famine. So there were 7 years of plenty, 2 years of famine. So that's another 9 years. Hamea v'shitzar. That means that Yaakov is now 116 years old when he goes and meets Paro. That's the key point. Yaakov is 116 years old when he goes and meets Paro. But there's a problem. The Pasuk says, Vayomer Paro al Yaakov kama yimei shnei chayecha. Paro asks him, how old are you? Vayomer Yaakov el Paro, Yemei Shnei Megurai Shloshim U'Ma'as Shana, I'm 130 years old. So we have a big problem. We just counted and got to the conclusion that Yaakov should be 116 years when he meets Paro. And the Torah says explicitly that Yaakov says he's 130 years old. So we have 14 years missing. So the Gemara says, Mea v'shitzer havim. We just counted 116. Ela shmamina, our boss, our shanin, dahava b'beis ever lo chashiv lu. We missed 14 years. He had been sitting in Beis Aver after he left his parents' home. He's learning in yeshiva for 14 years. That wasn't counted in the minyan. That wasn't counted. Okay, the next three lines of the Gemara are a little choppy because of some girsa issues, but they basically stand for the proposition that Aver, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Sefer, died 2 years after Yaakov left. The Gemara says, Vitanya, or Ditanya, depending on the girsa, Haya Yaakov b'beis Aver mutman arba esrei shana. Again, we're bringing this to just back up our claim that we made just now that Yaakov had learned in Yeshiva Sefer for 14 years. Then they take out the girsa, or at least the Bach takes out the words Aver Mace there. Achar shiyar Yaakov avinu yaram na'arayim shtei shanim. And then he puts in Mace Aver. So in other words, Aver died 2 years after Yaakov arrived at Lavan's house, or 2 years after Yaakov had left the yeshiva. Yatsum yisham ubolo laram na'arayim. That's when Yaakov appeared at Yalavan's house. Nimzak shamar al-ba'er ben shivim v'sheva shana. As we did with our calculations, Yaakov was 77 years old at that point. Fine. The next part of the puzzle is that Yaakov wasn't punished for these years. If you remember, we started the Gemara by saying that for the 14 years that Yaakov was learning in yeshiva, he wasn't punished for that. Uminolan du'o mi'anish. How do we know that's true? Detanya, we have a brisa that says, Nimsa Yosef shepiresh me'aviv esrim u'shtayim shana. Yosef was missing from his father's home For 22 years. Rashi explains that Yosef was 17 when the whole story with the pit happened, and then he reappears. The next time we hear about his age, he's 30 years old when he's in front of Paro. So that's 22 years. Kashem Shapir Yaakov Avinu Me'aviv Yaakov Tlasin Vishisa. Kashem Shapir Yaakov Avinu Me'aviv. So just like Yaakov Avinu had disappeared from his parents' house, from Yitzchak and Rivka's house, for a certain period of time, so he is now punished corresponding to that period of time by missing out on Yosef. We just said it's for 22 years that Yosef was missing. But the Gemara says, Yaakov tlasin v'shisa havyan. Yaakov was actually separated from his parents for 36 years. There was for 36 years, so there seems to be a discrepancy. We're saying that he was punished for leaving his parents' house, and therefore he missed out on being with Yosef for 22 years, but he was really gone for 36 years. So how do you explain that? Ella, our baser davis beveis ever l'chashevlu. Really, of those 36 years, 14 of those were in Yeshiva's Ever learning Torah, 20 were in Lavan's house, and we'll see in a moment where the other two were. And that's why we see that he wasn't punished for the 14 years that he was learning in Yeshiva's Aver, and that's how we derive that Gadol Talmud Torah Yoser Mekibud Aveim. The Gemara just wants to close up the calculation. Sof Sof to Beis Lavan Esrin Shana Havyan. He was only in Lavan's house for 20 years. So where is the extra 2 years, right? We had 36, 14 of Shem Aver, and then 22, or ostensibly in Beis Lavan. El Mishum Dishtoi Beurcha Tartin Shana. It took him 2 years to get back to his parents' house. That took 18 months. Shnei Rav Yaakov nasa sukos of even labayis upnei asa sukos ubeis el asa shisha chadashim vikriv zvachim. So you have another 6 months in Beis El, so a total of 2 years, and that's how you can account for the additional 2 years. Bottom line is that he was in Yeshiva's Shem Aver, Yeshiva's Aver for 14 years. He wasn't punished for that. And so therefore, even though he was separated for a total of 36 years, we subtract 14 years, and he was only separated from Yosef, corresponding to that, for 22 years. Okay, Hadron Olach, Megillah Nikras, to finish the first parak, and we'll start the second parak. The second parak starts with Mishnah, Koreas HaMegillah, one who reads Koreas HaMegillah L'mafreya L'yatzah. If you read the Megillah out of order, you're not Yosef the Mitzvah. Kra Al Peh, if you read it by heart, meaning not from the klaf, you just recite it from memory. Kra targum b'chol lashon, or you read it in translation, or you hear the Megillah in translation, let's say in English, lo yatza, But he clarifies that but someone who understands a different language can be yotze the mitzvah of Megillah by hearing the Megillah in that language. In that language. All we're saying is that you can't hear it in a different language. If you speak English and you don't understand French, you can't hear the Megillah, you can't be able to the Megillah in French. The Gemara is going to flesh out these halachas a little later. Someone who speaks English but doesn't understand Hebrew, if he hears it in the original Hebrew, he's Yotze, and fulfills the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah in that way. Kras Serugin Umisnam Name Yatza. Rashi explains, as the Gemara will explain, Serugin is Kori Ma'atu Posek, Vishav Chozer Posek. You read it with long pauses in between. So you read a few psukim, you pause, go back and read a few psukim, you pause. That's one thing. Misnam Name is you're kind of half dozing off. The Gemara is going to get into the qualifications a little later. But for those things, Yatza, you're Yotze the Megillah. You could read it with pauses, you could read it dozing off, half dozing off. Okay, Hayakosva Dorsha Umagia. Let's say you're writing your own Megillah, or you are teaching, you're giving a shiur about Megillah, Umagia, or you're correcting a Megillah, if you're fixing the letters. So Imkiven Libo Yatza. If in the process of doing that you happen to read every word, and you have Kavana to be Yotze the Mitzvah of Megillah, so then you're Yotze the Mitzvah of Megillah. However, Imlav Lo Yatza. But if you simply read the words in the process of fixing of Megillah or learning Gemara, but you were but you didn't have in mind to be Yotze the mitzvah of Megillah, then you're not Yotze the mitzvah of Megillah. Haisaksu of Besam of Vesikra of Akumos of Akankantum. If it was written in any of these less than ideal or less than permanent types of ink, Alaniyar or less than a regular piece of paper, some non-cloth kind of paper. They'll have a diphthera or another kind of substandard piece of paper, lo yatza. It should take suva ashuris, it has to be written in Hebrew, ala sefer, on specific kind of parchment, uvidio, and with a specific kind of permanent ink that's not going to disappear. Okay, that's the Mishnah. The Gemara says, minahani mili. How do we know the first halacha that the Mishnah identified, which is that you need to read the Megillah in order? You can't jump around and read Perek Gimel, and then read Perek Hay, and then come back to Perek Aleph. You got to read it straight in order. So how do you know that? Amar Rava, Rava says, Damar Kra, Kichsavam Uchizmanam. In the Megillah itself, the Pasuk says that that the Jews accepted the holiday Kichsavam, to celebrate these 2 days, Yudal Tesvav Kichsavam v'chizmanam. So the Gemara darshins mazmanam l'mafrealo, just like you can't possibly celebrate the 15th of Adar before the 14th of Adar. The calendar works the way it works. You can't move around time. So af ksavam l'mafrealo. So too, since it says Kichsavam v'chizmanam, the two words are together, so too you can't read it out of order. So the Gemara says, Mide kriya ksiva hacha, asiya ksiva hacha. You're taking this out of context. The Pasuk here is not talking about how you should record the story of Megillah Esther or how you should read the Megillah. The Pasuk here is talking about celebrating the holiday. And dechsiv v'yos osim eshnei hayamim. That's what Pasuk's talking about. So rather we're going to scrap that and go with a different drasha, elamei hacha. From the following, dechsiv hayamim ha'eu nizkarim v'na'asim. And these days, meaning the days of Purim, are remembered and done and celebrated. Iskash zechira la'asiya. Very similar drasha to the one we just threw out. That there's a hekesh between zechira, mentioning or remembering the holiday, la'asiya, and celebrating, commemorating the holiday. Ma'asiya l'mafrelo. Just like you can't commemorate the holiday out of order, you can't move around the calendar, it comes when it comes. So af zechira l'mafrelo, so too its remembrance, which is the Mikra Megillah, the reading of the Megillah can't be read out of order. It's got to be in order, just like the calendar is in order. Okay, so now while we're on the topic of the fact that the Megillah needs to be read in order and can't be read out of order, we're going to talk about a few other things that need to be done in order. Tana, we have a braisa that says, V'chein b'Hallel. Hallel also has to be read in order. V'chein b'Kriya Shema. And Kriya Shema has to be done in order. ubitfila, and the brachos of Shemona Esrei have to be done in order. You can't skip around the brachos, as we'll see. Hallel minal, and how do we know that Hallel has to be read in order? Rabba amar dechziv mi mizrach shemesh ad mevo'o. So now we're going to quote a few psukim from Hallel that we think tip us off to the fact that Hallel has to be read in order. The first one is mi mizrach shemesh ad mevo'o, from the sunrise, you know, as it proceeds. And Rashi points out that just like sunrise takes place in the morning and sunset takes place in the evening, and you can't flip it around, time proceeds as it does, so too you can't move paragraphs of Hallel around. You got to do it in order. Rav Yosef Amar, similarly, Zeh Yom Asa Hashem, that just like the, right, this is the day that Hashem made, just like the day proceeds in order, you can't move time around, so too you can't move the paragraphs of Hallel around. Rav Avi Amar, Yihi Shem Hashem Mivorach, that just, that here, there, actually he's playing on the word Yihi, Yihi Bahava Yaso Yehe, that Yihi, it should be, meaning things should be in their proper order. And so too, you should not move the paragraphs of Hallel around. Rav Nachman, Rav Bar Yitzchak, V'itim Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Amar Mehacha, Me'ata V'ad Olam. Again, similar drasha from now until forever, talking about the sequence of time, just like time can't be switched around, so too the paragraphs of Hallel can't be switched around. You need to read Hallel in order. Fine, that's the different opinions as to how we know that Hallel has to be read in order. Kriya Shema, how do you know that Kriya Shema has to be read in order? D'tanya, we have a brayso that says, Kriya Shema kichsava divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says that you have to read Kriya Shema in Lashon HaKodesh, in the way it was written, Lashon HaKodesh, you have to read it in Hebrew. The Chachamim say that Kriya Shema can be read in any language. So there's a machlokas here about the language, not about the order. We'll get to that in a moment. They're just arguing about which language. My time with the Rebbe. How does Rebbe know that Kriya Shema can only be read in Lashon HaKodesh? Amar Kra, V'hayu, Bavayasan Yehu. Right? The Pasuk says, V'hayu Advarim V'hayu in Kriya Shema. So that teaches us, Bavayasan Yehu, it has to be read as is, meaning just like the Torah is in Lashon HaKodesh, you can only be Yotze in the midst of Kriya Shema by reading it in Lashon HaKodesh. So what do the Rabbanan do? The Rabbanan, what do they do with that Pasuk of V'hayu? Or I'm sorry, we're going to add to that. The Rabbanan, my time, why do the Rabbanan think that you can read it in any language? Amar Kras Shema, B'chol Lashon Shato Shomea. The whole parsha of Shema starts out with Shema, listen. So that implies, says the Rabbanan, they derive from there, that any language that you could possibly hear or understand, you could be Yotze Kriya Shema by reading in that language. So now they're going to kind of bounce off each other and ask why the drushes that each of them offered don't work for the other. V'Rebbe Nami Haksiv Shema. What's Rebbe going to do with the fact that it says Shema? Isn't he, shouldn't he derive the same halacha from there, that you could do it in any language that you know? Haumi Boilei Hishamei Oznecha Matar Zemotzei Mipicha. The Gemara says Rebbe learns a completely different halacha from that, which is that you need to hear what you say, even if you're going to do it quietly. You have to do it loud enough so that you could actually hear your own whisper. V'Rabbanan, so how the Rabbanan going to derive that halacha? V'Rabbanan Savri Kamande Amar Al Korei Shema V'lo Yishmeil Aznav Yatza. The Rabbanan say that's not actually halacha, we disagree, and you could actually be Yotze Kriya Shema even if you can't hear the words you're reciting. V'Rabbanan Nam Yaksiv Hayu. So now what are the Rabbanan going to do with the drusha that Rebbe proffered, which was V'Hayu B'Hava Yasan Yehu, that it should be read in the language in which it appears in the Torah? Haumi Bayway Shlo Yikara L'Mafreya. And here's our halacha that we've been waiting for. The Rabbanan say, Ahud V'Hayu teaches you that it should be written B'Hava Yasan Yehu, a similar drasha, that it should be written as is, not in the language it's written, but in the order that it's written. B'Hava Yasan Yehu, you can't read it out of order, which is the source we were looking for. V'Rebbe Shlo Yikara L'Mafreya Minolei. How does Rebbe learn the halacha we've been looking for, which is that you have to read Kriya Shema in order? So he learns that from me, Dvarim HaDvarim. The pasuk could have said, Vayu Dvarim Ha'ila, and these are the words, and the fact that it adds a Hey, HaDvarim, teaches you these things, meaning specifically these things in a very forceful way, to teach you that it should be read in order. V'Rabbanan, what did the Rabbanan do with that extra Hey? Dvarim HaDvarim, the Rabbanan aren't concerned about an extra hay. They think that it makes sense in the context, and they don't need to darshan that extra hay from Hadvarim. And that, so if all the drushes work out, and each one learns their halachos that they think pertain from the various things. The Gemara now says, Lema kasavar Rebbe, kol ha-Torah kula b'chol lashon emra. It seems from this brisa that we quoted, again, that Rebbe said that Kriya Shema can only be read in Lashon HaKodesh, in Hebrew. It seems from that, the fact that he has to point that out seems to imply that he thinks all the other parts of the Torah can be read in any language, right? It can be read in any language, because he has to point out that Kriya Shema specifically has to be read in Hebrew. That implies the rest of the Torah can be read in any language. Because if you thought that he held that the halacha was that the rest of the Torah could be read in any language, why would he need a special drasha to teach you that Kriya Shema could only be read in Hebrew? My answer is, itzrich sakadaitach Shema k'rabbanan. He does need it, because you might have thought that he would learn the pasuk that the Rabbanan offer to teach you that Kriya Shema can be read in any lashon. So you might have thought that maybe Kriya Shema is an exception to the rule of Kol HaTorah Kula, and that's why it doesn't necessarily prove that. So therefore, Kasav Rachmana Vehayu, to teach you that Kriya Shema should be read specifically in Lashon HaKodesh. And then we're going to flip it around the other way. Lema Kasav Rabbanan, Kol HaTorah B'Lashon HaKodesh Nemra. Maybe you should derive from the fact that the Rabbanan say that Kriya Shema specifically can be read in any language, does that maybe imply that the Rabbanan hold that the rest of the Torah can only be read in Hebrew, and maybe Kriya Shema is a special rule? Because if you held that the whole Torah can be read in any language, why would they need a special drasha for Kriya Shema? Our answer is, similar answer to what we gave for Rebbe. You might have thought that because the pasuk says v'hayu, that would teach you that you can only read Kriya Shema in Lashon HaKodesh. So the pasuk comes to teach you Shema, to teach you that it can be read in any language that you hear. It's interesting that the Gemara here makes mention of what language the rest of the Torah can be read in, right? What language the rest of the Torah can be read in contrast to Shema, one way or the other, right? But the question that Tosfos asks is, what are we talking about here? When do we read the rest of the Torah? So we know we have Kriya Satorah in Shul on Shabbos and during the week, but Tosfos points out that that's only Midrabanan. There's no mitzvah d'oraisa to read the Torah in public. And so what's the Gemara talking about when it says that in contrast to Shema, the rest of the Torah can be read in any language or just in Hebrew? What's this whole discussion about when it talks about reading the rest of the Torah? Kriya Satorah is only Midrabanan. So Tosfos points out that there are other mitzvos where there are recitations of psukim that are required. For example, Chalitza, the Abam has to say a pasuk in Chalitza. In Eglar Rufa, they have to say Yadeinu Lo Shafklu, right? They have to say a pasuk there. Vidoy Meiser. There are various instances.
Hakel or something.
Hakel is another. Tosfos doesn't mention Hakel, but Hakel is another one. Tosfos's assumption that Kriya Satorah in public is not a mitzvah d'oraisa is based on the Gemara that says that this was a takana of Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? This is one of the earliest takanas drabanan. Takana Moshe Rabbeinu himself made a takana that you read the Torah on Shabbos, right? Shabbos and Yom Tov. In the Shar Misnayot Balacha, he just mentions that it's a machokas rishonim, whether that itself actually is a mitzvah d'oraisa. He says that the Ritva holds that early takan of Moshe Rabbeinu was so early to make it kind of part of the, you know, part of the, being one of the mitzvahs d'oraisa. We know all our mitzvahs d'oraisa are kind of learned mipi Moshe. So it's a fine line between a takana made by Moshe and something that he's actually quoting mipi Agvura. So the Machlokes Rishonim as to whether that's considered a mitzvah d'rabbanan d'oraisa. Apparently the Rambam says specifically, Moshe Rabbeinu tikkun on Yisrael, Shiva Simei Aveilos, that you said Shiva, Shiva Simei Mishta, that you say Shav Brachos, etc. And, you know, and so he mentions the Takanas of Moshe Rabbeinu kind of as being Midrabanan, whereas the Ritva says specifically that that the Kriya Satorah on Shabbos and Yom Tov in the morning are Doraisa. Apparently Kriya Shema and Mincha and Monday and Thursday, in contrast, are only Midrabanan. Anyway, but it's an interesting point that Tosfos raised. Okay, Now the Gemara says, Tfilah Minalan. How do we know that the brachos of Shmona Esrei, as we mentioned before, they have to be said in order and can't be recited out of order? Or another way of asking the question is, why is it so important that these brachos be said in order? We know that the Anshei Knesset, we'll see in a moment, Anshei Knesset Gedolah were the ones who crafted the Shmona Esrei, the Amidah. And so just because they put these brachos in the order they put them in, why is it so important that they be kept in that order? Why isn't it okay to kind of swap them around? So we'll see that in a moment. Now, so Tfilah Minalan. How do we know that it's important that the Shmona Esrei be kept in order? Ditanya. We have a braisa. Shimon HaPikuli. Rashi points out that how did Shimon HaPikuli get his name? It's a funny name, Shimon HaPikuli. Apparently he sold wool, Tzemer Geffen, a certain type of wool, and that in some languages called Pikula. So because he was a wool merchant, they called him Shimon HaPikuli. So Shimon HaPikuli, histir Shmona Esrei Brachos. Mifnei Rabban Gamliel, ala Seder B'Yavna. So when the Sanhedrin moved to Yavna with Rabban Gamliel, so Shimon HaPikuli was commissioned to write up or to organize the Shmona Esrei, the 18 brachos that comprise our Shmona Esrei. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Be'amri Lob Masnisa Tana, Me'av Esrim Zekenu, V'hem Kamen Neviim, Tiknu Shmona Esrei, Brachos Ala Seder. So different versions, whether it's Shimon HaPikuli, or according to this Mandi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, it's 120 Zekenim, and included in them were Neviim. They organized the Shmona Esrei, the 18 brachos. Fine. Tanrabanan, minayin she'omrim avos. So now we get into our braisa, which gives the scriptural source for each of the brachos, and we're going to see that these are in order of these various psukim. Tanrabanan, minayin she'omrim avos. So how do we know that we say the first bracha of Shmona Esrei? Shenemar havu Hashem b'nei elim. Uminayin she'omrim gevuros. So Havu Hashem B'nei Elim kind of refers to the Avos, right? Rashi says Haskiru Afanav Es Elei Ha'aretz, the rams of the earth, the forefathers. Minayin She'omrim Gvuros. How do we know they say the second bracha? Shneamar Havu Hashem Kavod Va'oz. Kavod Va'oz. Oz is Gvura, is strength, and that's an allusion to the bracha of Gvuros, and that comes immediately after. Right, it's Havu Hashem Bnei Elim, Havu Hashem Kavod V'Oz. It goes in order, so that now we see that Avos comes first, then Gevuros. Minayin She'omrim Kedushos. How do we know that you say the bracha of Atah Kadosh? Let me get a sitter because it'll be easier to follow along if we have a sitter open. So how do we know that the third bracha is Atah Kadosh, Kedushos Hashem? We know that because it says, where am I? Kedushanemar Havu Hashem Kavod Shemo Hishtachavu Hashem Bahadras Kodesh. Again, that's a continuation of the pasuk, so that works very nicely. The first three brachos all flow from these psukim in Tehillim. Mm-hmm. Fine, that's the first three. Umara u lomar bina achar kedusha. Why did Chazal think that Atachonain, the bracha for Bina, for intelligence, for wisdom, should come immediately after the bracha of Kedusha? Shneimar v'kedushu es kedosh Yisrael, right? The pasuk in Yeshayahu talks about Kedusha. Ves elokei Yisrael yaritzu, that the God of Israel should be revered. V'samichle, and immediately after that, in Yeshaya, the next pasuk, v'yedu toei ruach Bina, it talks about people who go off the derech, people who make mistakes should acquire wisdom. So we have Kedusha immediately followed by Bina, so that explains why the bracha of Bina comes immediately after the bracha of Kedusha. Fine. Umara ugomer tshuva achar Bina. And why did Chazal think that they should put the bracha of tshuva immediately after the bracha of chonein ladam das, of Bina? Dichsiv uvavo yavin vishav varape lo. The pasuk says that your heart should understand Bina Vishav Rapelo Vishav, right, and you should return Verapelo. So that shows that tshuva comes after Bina. The Gemara says, Ihachi, if that's true, Lema Rafua Basra de tshuva, right? The pasuk says Uvavo Yavin, Bina, Vishav, that's tshuva, Virapelo, that's refuah. But the next bracha is not refuah. There are two brachos in between. Now, there's after tshuva, there's slicha, slachon avinu, there's geula, re'evan yenu, and only that after that is refuah. So why do we have two brachos in between tshuva and refuah? How do you explain that? Gemara says, lo salkadaitach, don't think that that's true. Dechsiv, v'yashov el Hashem v'yarachamehu, it talks about tshuva, v'yel elokeinu ki arbe uslach, tshuva, and then slicha, so that means it makes sense that slicha should immediately follow tshuva. Gemara says, "Umay chazus de samchas ahas mochaha." I don't understand. Why are you choosing that pasuk? We have one pasuk which seems to say that refuah should come immediately after tshuva. We have another pasuk that says slicha should come immediately after tshuva. Why are you favoring one pasuk over the other? Gemara answers, "There's a third pasuk that resolves everything." Ksav kra achrina. There's a third pasuk, Hasoleach l'chol avonechi, Harofei l'chol tachlu aichi, Hagoel mishachas chayechi. Okay, so here we have a pasuk that says slicha, followed by refua and geula, right? Slicha followed by refuah and geula, so that puts it back in place, and now we see that you should do tshuva followed by slicha, because you have that pasuk, right? And then you have refuah and geula followed following after slicha. That's kind of the third pasuk that puts everything in order. Gemara says, "Lememra de geula refuah basar slicha." That right, that was what we just said. Lememra de geula refuah basar slicha. They should go after slicha. Gemara says, v'aksiv v'shav v'rafei lo. So the Gemara says, but I don't understand. It says, that v'shav v'rafei lo, that, again, this is kind of back to our original question, why shouldn't refuah come after tshuva? So the Gemara says, no, ahu lav refuah d'tachluim hi, el refuah d'slichi. It's a different type of refuah. That's not what we're talking about. That's refuah of... That's not a refuah from illness. When we say it in Shemoneh Esrei refuah, we're asking Hashem to cure illness, right? That's the literal refuah. This is a refuah of slicha. This is spiritual refuah. And so that's not in the mix. That's not what we're talking about. And so therefore, that pasuk shouldn't be considered when thinking about the order of the Shemoneh Esrei. Fine. Umar ro'u lomer geula b'shvias. Why did Chazal think that the bracha of geula should be the seventh bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei? Amarava mitoch she'atidim ligal b'shvias, because ultimately the geula will take place in the seventh, and Rashi explains what's going on here. The Gemara says l'ficha kavua b'shvias. Therefore, they made it the seventh bracha. Rashi explains that the shvias here is a series of years. A series of years. The Gemara in Sanhedrin spells out that when Mashiach comes, there'll be the first year will be famine, and then another year will be milchama, and then another year will be etc. And the seventh year is the year of geula. Although specifically, we'll see in a moment what it means is the milchama will be in the seventh year, the milchama that ultimately results in a geula. But for now, that's what it says. It says that the seventh year in that series of years is the year of geula. That's why Chazal made geula the seventh bracha. Then we immediately ask, V'amar mar b'shishis kolos b'shvias milchamos. It doesn't say that the seventh year will be the year of geula. It says the seventh year will be the year of war. That's anything but geula. B'motzoi shvias ben David ba. It's only in the end of the seventh year, the eighth year, so to speak, that's when Mashiach comes. So why is the seventh bracha the bracha of geula? The Gemara answer is, milchama nami aschalta de geula hi. The war, this is kind of the very last stage just before the ultimate geula, and so the milchama in this context is the beginning of the ripening of the geula. That's when and that's why we make geula the seventh bracha. Good. Umar ra'u lomar refuah b'shminas. Why did Chazal want to make refuah, the bracha of refainu, the eighth bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei? Amar of acha mitoch shenitla mila b'shminas. Shetzricha refuah, because mila takes place on the eighth day of a baby's life after a baby's born, and you need refuah from a mila, that's a medical procedure. Lefichach kavua b'shminas, and therefore they made refuah the eighth bracha to allude to that. Uma ra'u lomar birkas hashanim mitshias. Why did they choose the bracha of birkas hashanim, the bracha where we ask for parnasa, where we ask for sustenance? Why did they make that the ninth bracha? Amar Rabbi Alexandri keneged mafkiyei sha'arim. It's against the people who raise prices. D'chsiv shvor zera rasha. V'david ki amra b'tshias amra. David in Tehillim, there's a reference to people who mess up the economy by raising the prices. We're asking Baruch Aleinu for sustenance, for parnasa, for a good economy. And so therefore, because that appears as the ninth parak of Tehillim, we make this the ninth bracha. The question that Rashi asks is, that's not the ninth bracha of Tehillim, it's actually the tenth parak of Tehillim. And so Rashi says that if you put together the first two prakim of Tehillim, they really count as one, and this then gets to the ninth. Right? Rashi says, Vim Tomar Shminas Hi. It's the eighth.
It's the tenth.
Yeah. It's the tenth, right? Okay, they changed the gear, so whatever. Ashri Vam Rug Shugoyim Tarte Parshasi. Whatever it is, if you rearrange some of the other parshas of Tehillim, and it comes out that this is actually the ninth, and that's why Baruch Aleinu is the ninth bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, Umaro Lomar Kibbutz Golios Lachar Birkas Hashanim. Why was the next bracha the bracha of Tekah B'Shofar Gadol, of the ingathering of the exiles of Kibbutz Golios? Dechsiv Vatem Hare Yisrael Anefchem Tidnu Parichem Tisu. It's talking about that the branches are gonna be given, and the fruit give that flourishing. Ame Yisrael kigarvu avo, talking about Kibbutz Golios. V'kevan sheniskabsu Golios nasa din. Oh, sorry. So that's why they. I'm sorry. That's the reason why they put Kibbutz Golios immediately after Birkas Hashanim, is because this pasuk in Yechezkel alludes to Kibbutz Golios immediately after talking about sustenance, about the fruit blooming. So that's Kibbutz Golios. The next bracha is Hashiva Shofteinu Adin. So the Gemara says, V'kevan sh'niskabtu Golios, once now there's an ingathering of the exiles, Nase Din Bereshayim. So justice is now meted out on the evildoers. Shnemer V'ashiva Yodai Alayach V'etzrov Kvod Sigayach. V'ksiv V'ashiva Shoftayach Kvarishona. So the psukim talking about justice, Shiva Shoftayach Kvarishona, come on the heels of Kibbutz Golios. And that's why Din, Hashiva Shofteinu, comes immediately after the bracha of Kibbutz Golios. The Kevin Shana said, Din, min Arishayim, Kolu HaPoshim, V'kolel Zedim. And now once justice is meted out, so then the evildoers are gotten rid of, and people who do bad, their reign has ended. Shenemar v'shavar poshim v'chatoim yachdav, and that's why the bracha of the minim v'ramal shinim comes immediately after din. V'kevan shekola poshim, and when they are gone, when the bad guys are gone, misromemes keren sadikim. That's when the tzadikim rise up, because all the bad guys are gone. That's when the tzadikim shine, and that's why the bracha of ala tzadikim comes immediately after v'ramal shinim. I will cut off the Rishaim, Tiromimena, Karnos Tzadik, and the horns of the righteous will rise. V'kolel Gerei Tzadikim at Tzadikim, and it includes the Gerei Tzadik with the Tzadikim, Shneimar B'nei Seva Takum, V'adarta B'nei Zakein, V'samachlei V'chi Agurit Chem Ger. So the Gerei Tzadik are included in the Tzadikim. Vehichan Mistro Memes Karnam, and where do the tzaddikim rise? Where do they really flourish? They flourish in Yerushalayim. And so the next bracha in Shemoneh Esrei is V'Yerushalayim Yircha, where we talk about Yerushalayim. How do we know that the tzaddikim flourish in Yerushalayim? Because Shenemar Shalu Shalom Yerushalayim Yishlayu Avayich became Shenemar Yishlayu Avayich. So there we see that the Avayich, the people who are the lovers of Hashem, they are the ones who flourish in Sion and Yerushalayim. The cave in Shinivne is Yerushalayim, and once Yerushalayim is built, Ba David David HaMelech comes, Shenemar, Achar Yashuvu Bnei Yisrael, Uvikshu Es Hashem Elokeichem, Ves David Malkam. And so another pasuk here, the pasuk can continue, well, I guess next week continue the pasuk and then talk about the rest of the flow of the Shemoneh Esrei.